gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Yeah, I don't think there's any amount of time after tragedy before jokes. Don in Fort Lauderdale, you're on the, in this case. Don, hello, Don.
Hi, I have a couple of headlines for you.
Yes, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
From the Associated Press, Gaddafi captured from Reuters. Gaddafi caught from Fox. Bush captures Gaddafi.
Aha! Well, hey, shoot, I thought he
another
was
one.
Done.
He
I'm
had a closer.
I'm sorry.
He had a button, a tag.
He had a big closer and he cut him off. I thought he was done. All right. Yes, the wow, you know what? I didn't need to look at that color picture of what's reportedly
there it is right there on
Gaddafi's
CNN.
Body. I took a bite of my tamale. I was like, wow, good. What a tripoli.
Yeah.
That was... yeah, it appears to be him. Muerta.
It does. We don't, you know,
yeah,
the state...
Yeah, that Muammar Gaddafi... Right. Well, you know what? There's a reason Hillary Clinton was over there dancing to Usher or whatever. Or maybe I'm confusing the two. She was at the Hollywood Bowl, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Girlfriend knew something's up.
She's a marksman in the street, but a freak in the bed.
Apparently.
Yeah. She pulled the trigger, maybe.
I bet you she took him out herself.
Yeah.
So that we will keep you apprised of that. The headline on CNN reports Muammar Gaddafi is dead.
But the State Department has not been able to confirm that yet.
Yeah, but that picture.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah.
Quite
well, you're right. The black and white picture is a little like, and then you were like, "Oh, I have a color one," and I
just think I'm gonna buy it.
All right.
Yeah, that was.
All right. That became used food. Someone can use that now. All right.
By the way, we have a sequel to the used food emporium coming up later on
Wait,
in the show.
Why can't we do it now?
Because it's a tease. It's what we call a tease.
Oh, whatever. Okay. We're still in the afterglow of the combative Rock'em Sock'em Robots GOP debate. This is from Mike in Raleigh. Here we go. Here we go. Or not.
Those people that hire illegal ought to be penalized.
You're working it out in the middle of the ring.
Admit you lose all of your standing because you hired illegals.
And you have a hard right to the job.
Yes, let me finish with Mike what I have to say.
It's just part of the action where the world's only boxing robots, the Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
I'm speaking.
With these control levers, you can keep your fighters in motion to duck punches.
You get 30 seconds. This is the way the rules work here.
When you press this plunger, he throws a right up.
I get 60 seconds.
No, but the man.
And then you get 30 seconds to respond, right?
They want.
Anderson.
Press the other plunger and there's a left jab.
Are you just going to keep talking?
Lots of exciting action and fun for everyone.
You have a problem with allowing someone to finish speaking. And I suggest that if you want to become President of the United States, you got to let both people speak.
The world's only boxing robot. Get the Rock'em Sock'em Robots by Mark.
Hey.
Thank you, Mike and Raleigh.
Yay.
I thought that we're going to have to put Rick Perry's head back down.
Okay. No, that's the sound it made when his block got knocked off.
When you knocked your block off, right.
Yes.
But then when you... Oh, right. When you put it back down...
It just went... Yeah.
Pardon me. Stephanie Miller show
Get your 70s toys straight.
Pardon me. Let's bring Carl Frisch in.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. WholeFightStrategies.com. Hey, you knocked my block off. Hi, Carl Frisch.
Good morning, Jehovah Goddess.
That's me. Thank you very much. Yeah, wow.
Lord, the day is at hand.
Oh, my goodness.
We are in the last
day. Good job, Marcus. That military outfit is to die for, isn't it?
I was, I would say that everybody in the audience was saluting, but I understand that Marcus was in the audience, so.
I think that's the color bone that we've heard so much about, that Marcus... I want a suit in bone.
A crew. I think it was a crew.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Carl Frisch, what did the debate, to me, more entertaining, when the laying of hands goes on, you know it's a good debate.
Well,
I was like, oh my God, he's going to hit him. He's going to hit him.
I kept on thinking about when Rick Lazio, you know, all those years ago, walked over and touched Hillary Clinton.
That's right.
And everybody said, you know, that's what ended his campaign. I think the campaign ended like 50 times, during the debate.
Did you hope as much as I did that he would say, take your mitts off me? Come on. I was right there. Take your mitt off me.
I was kind of hoping that the animosity would end as soon as their hands touched.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they would just kind of look in each other's eyes.
Just that electricity.
Sometimes okay. When we touch.
and your favorite, when, I'm sorry, I, go ahead. Your favorite
when,
part you said.
When Mittens said, you know, if you want to be president, you have to let both people talk. My favorite thing was thinking, yeah, he's about right. The only way that Rick Perry's going to be president is if there's only both people left to vote for him.
Yeah, well.
Two people.
And letting both people, Mitt Romney, since he can debate himself on every issue, he always lets both people talk.
At least in his head.
Yeah. Now, I love your an open letter to the 2012 Republican also-rans. You just write, Dear Republican also-rans, it's time to give it up. You will not be the Republican nominee this year. It really, you know, you started out in such a great way by saying, honestly, when Donald Trump has been the front runner, it is time to say, this is just a ridiculous party. What has become of the Republican Party?
I cannot believe that, you know, these supposedly serious people would not think, you know what, Donald Trump's the front runner. He's leading me in the polls, and it's time to reevaluate my life choices.
Because something's gone awry in your party.
Went wrong.
Right.
Something went wrong.
Right.
You just go through the lot of them. I mean, Sarah Palin wouldn't even give it the old college half try.
Yeah. If this field is too tacky for Sarah Palin to get into, you know something's gone awry. But you go down the whole list. Michelle Bachmann, you say, would be better off helping your husband's clients pray the gay away, since that act is about as possible as you winning the presidency. Ron Paul, you too will never be president while your libertarian magic dust may enchant your walking dead zombie-like supporters. It's not likely to inspire others who, for example, believe the 1964 Civil Rights Act was a good idea.
There's no shame in being an also-ran. I mean, the presidential landscape of Iowa and New Hampshire are littered with crazy, irrational people like Gary Bauer and Alan Keyes. They might as well just start polishing their Fox News resumes, because they've got a better chance of sitting behind Glenn Beck's old desk in New York City than the president's desk in the Oval Office.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I love in your piece is you predict Mitt Romney, like nearly every Republican over the last 30 years, will win because he's run before and lost before. And then, you know, you said you should be prepared to eventually lose the general election, because that's exactly what will happen. In your opinion, Carl Frisch.
Yeah, I just cannot picture him as president. And I realize that that's no way to gauge somebody's abilities as a candidate. But he's been running for a very long time. And when the party continues to look, a couple weeks ago on the show, I announced the drafting of a local New Mexico state senator. I'm convinced that if she actually announced, and I don't even remember her name, but
right.
If she actually announced, she would probably be the flavor of the month. I mean,
right.
This has become like Baskin's 31 flavors of Republicans, and nobody is ordering Mitt Romney.
Exactly. Now, as we mentioned the breaking news off the top of the show, the reports are that Muammar Gaddafi is dead. It has not been confirmed yet. How does that play politically? It seems to me, terms,
George
here we go, it's another,
yeah,
it's another political victory for President Obama that somehow will not be a good thing.
And
right?
According to reports, it was NATO that took him out, not the rebels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think President Bush has a lot to be thankful for here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think we're going to have to at some point acknowledge as a country that President Obama knows what the heck he's doing on international policy. He's going to deserve... Go ahead.
Right. I'm sorry, Carl, but once again, like you say, here we go again, where he has been naysayed on this from day one by the right wing. Now what? You know, I mean,
John McCain gave him so much guff over his strategy here that you would have thought he'd like pooped his depends and was forced to like walk around the Senate without changing his diaper.
Yeah.
I think what the president did was the appropriate strategy. And, you know, just because these right-wing, pro-war hawks didn't get to, you know, chest thump and be out front on a military adventure,
That's right.
doesn't mean that what the president was doing wasn't a good idea. I mean, in the end, I'm betting that we lost fewer lives and we got a better outcome than we would have otherwise.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world. Oh, Rick, as you call him, Rick, don't Google me Santorum. he's becoming a bit of a single-issue guy, isn't he?
I always talk about, you know, you can call a dog a cat. It's not. I mean, marriage is something. It's from time immemorial.
A
union
again.
Between a man and a woman. It is an institution you can't redefine because it is something natural. It's something in nature of men and women or coming together, having children, raising those children for the benefit of society. And it's always been that way. It is what it is.
Yep.
To redefine it, then destroys it because
what?
it becomes something that is just a relationship between two people.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of nature, homosexuality exists in every species, so maybe he'd like to, including dogs.
You can call Rick Santorum a serious candidate. It doesn't make him a serious candidate. No, but you know what? Rick Santorum has gone from talking about gay stuff maybe 20% of the time to only talking about gay stuff.
Yeah, right.
I have a feeling that we're going to be, you know, looking forward to very soon a very special announcement on a very special blossom.
Oh, please.
Rick Santorum.
Oh, please. Oh, please let it be so. All right. Carl Frisch remains in the sidecar 17 minutes after the hour. Back with Carl Frisch in Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you like him?
It's brilliant.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. I'm freaking for my little baby, 'cause she makes me feel good. She's so fine.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. Carl Frisch. From Bullfight Strategies in the sidecar. Good morning again, Carl.
Good morning. You know, Steph,
yes.
Now that you're on the iPhone platform,
yes.
It might be a good time for you to go take some classes at a Mac store.
Take them in the commercial breaks with Chris, actually.
Yeah.
Spark set up my voicemail for me yesterday.
Yeah.
I think they might stick better if you just take classes.
Yeah.
And I think Chris's sanity might be a little bit more improved as well.
No, I have another errand for you. I need you to come to the parking garage and show me how to, you know, do the Bluetooth thing in my car after this.
Oh, I don't have a fancy car like that can do
whatever.
That, so I don't know how to do that.
Whatever. All right, so let's
ask Siri.
Yes, Siri.
I'm
obsessed with Siri Says, the website.
Yeah.
Oh, see, there's Carl Fisch's iPhone. All right, here we go. Dana
my iPhone was trying to talk to your phone.
I know. All right. Siri's busy. Dana in Dana Loesch. Yeah, on CNN. On Occupy Wall Street.
You have the Occupy Wall Street. They have the endorsement of the president. They have the blessing of Nancy Pelosi. They're also endorsed by the Nazi Party of the United States.
What?
They're also endorsed by communists. These are things that we did not see with the Tea Party movement.
What? Did I miss that? The Communist Party and Nazi Party endorsements?
Apparently, and you know, as a movement, the occupiers have the ability to stop crazy people from doing whatever they want to stop crazy people from doing. The reason you didn't see such things in the Tea Party was because those elements were busy making signs for the rallies.
Right.
Exactly. Eric Bowling on Fox Business Channel.
George Soros sympathizing, understanding the sentiments of the Wall Street occupiers. We do know, and it's on the Adbusters website, that they do not only support what's going on Wall Street. You're right. They organized the first one at Zuccotti Park, and then they've since been a forum for organization of other Occupy Portland, Occupy whatever. One more similarity between Media Matters and this group.
This group?
They like to drink the same drink. You know what it is?
Kool-Aid.
Absolutely. Kool-Aid.
Wait a minute, Carl. They better get their talking points right, because I heard the latest thing is that Occupy Wall Street is anti-Semitic. So why is it? Which is it? Is George Soros behind it, because or is it anti-Semitic?
Because people are wearing a hashtag on their shoulder.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Yeah. You know, heaven forbid somebody should make a reference to Twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
all right. Bill O'Reilly and, he has a psychotherapist on.
Yeah. So, you know, she's good.
Well, let's hope that's not the only place he's getting help.
You don't get a positive vibe from these people, do you?
Not only do I not get a positive vibe, I'm actually extremely concerned. You see, when we feel out of control in our life, that leads us to depression. And what they're actually asking for is to be out of control. They're asking for others to take control of their life by giving me. Give me, give me, give me. Rather than self-empowerment, rather than self-enhancement, that is concerning, and that does lead to mental instability.
God save me from pop psychology, psycho babble on Fox News about the mood, the feeling of an entire crowd and movement. Yeah.
Hey, Steph, what do you think a psychiatrist would say about, I don't know, a well-known person
hypothetically,
who uses power and influence to
sexually harass subordinates, that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, I don't know, a police officer investigated by his colleagues for banging the well-known person's wife.
Right.
Would somebody say that guy's a megalomaniac?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. We'll have to.
You
we'll
know,
Google it.
Listening to her makes me long for the days of Keith Abloh. Yeah. Just that's
fun of his name. All right, Bob Beckel and Eric Bowling on the Five.
It's unfair to call everybody down there communist.
Compare these communist Nazi.
I haven't called the Tea Party people fascists.
Smoking sex addicted morons.
See, that's what I mean. No. You're sitting here and you give me heat because I say things about Tea Party, and you make an outrageous statement like that. It would be like me saying they're a bunch of Nazis at the Tea Party.
Nazi talk is off limits for all of us.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, look at someone drawing a line on the Nazi analogies. Are they Nazis or communists?
You can't call someone a Nazi and a communist.
Yeah.
They're exact opposite.
These people are communist McCarthyites, if I have ever seen one. They will ask each other if they've ever been a communist. That's how McCarthy commie they are.
All right, I hate to do this to you, but let's finish with Brian Kilmeade for dessert.
Could this bra be the key to paying down the national debt? Let me see. The Victoria's Secret model's here, Miranda, with her $2.5 million treasure. And I'm talking about the bra.
So don't go telling me there's no intellectualism on Fox News, Carl Frisch. That's... You know.
No, I'm beginning to think that seventh grade boys write the prompter at Fox
News. Write the copy.
Because anytime they can have a topless woman on or somebody that's going to jump around, they take that opportunity, and I think they just do it to make Gretchen feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, and to make Steve even deucier. That's touched a girl's bra. All right, Carl Frisch.
Crazy.
From Bullfight Strategies, delightful as always. See you next week, sir.
Have a good one.
All right, you too. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Wow, so hip and sexy.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Already there's a sequel to the Hughes Foods Emporium?
Yes.
Oh, you know what? That's a moneymaker. Because, as you know, Herman Cain wants poor people to eat Hughes food.
Right.
Yes. And so there is a place to buy, and now there's
this week
more.
At Hughes Foods Emporium, it's our semi-annual apple and orange ananza. Mix and match a wide variety of used apples and oranges.
Awesome. You're mixing apples and oranges.
That recently fell off a truck, and we acquired only $9.99 a bushel.
And I'm going to be getting a bushel basket that has apples and oranges in it.
Our oranges aren't just orange. Some are brown, green, and gray. A great way to liven up any holiday table. And we stand by our guarantee that we have the softest apples in town, 100% tax-free. Now that's easy on the old shoppers and the pocketbook.
That's an apple.
Don't miss out on some other great bargains in our produce department. Listeria contaminated cantaloupe, only 30 cents a pound. It's Listerific. Canned peppers, a nickel a piece. Don't miss out on the apple and orange ananza at Used Foods Emporium.
Yummy. That's apples and oranges.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. That was Lister Ken in Cleveland.
Yay! Kenny Pick.
Yeah, Kenny Pick. All right. It's that time, ladies and gentlemen. David Bender, our buddy, our pal.
Yeah.
David Bender.
This means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
David Bender.
Yay, David Bender.
Yay. Good morning, David Bender.
Good morning. Hello, my darling. And you too, Stephanie.
Thank you. Thank you, darling.
Hello, Bendy.
Hey. Well, this is really interesting. We're waiting for the official report on Gaddafi.
That's
apparently
right.
Apparently, he was found, and this part I'm not making up, he was apparently found, also hiding in a spider hole in a tunnel, and the rumors are that he was shouting, "Don't shoot, don't shoot." I actually think he was shouting, 999!
Yes, that's what it's what's on everybody's mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how does this play out politically for the president? Because you heard I was talking to Carl Frisch about, here we go again, where the right wing has done nothing but naysaying, and now what?
I wish I thought that any of this mattered. I mean, you and I were together when Osama bin Laden, when the president made that announcement. We both looked at each other and thought this was an extraordinary moment. The country might come together. They might appreciate this president. That was a bump that lasted, a month?
Yep.
Is it a good thing to show that this president, this secretary of state, this administration can deal with the rest of the world? Yes. But Americans are very myopic. They think Libya is probably a state. I mean, if you ask Herman Cain, he'd say it's Libyastan. And I don't need to know who's head of Libyastan. The problem is this election, if we're talking purely pragmatic politics, is not going to be fought about things outside of our borders. It ought to be, because in fact, world economics are dictating what's going on with the American economy, but people can't wrap their minds around that.
Well, that's exactly true. I think if you look at these Occupy movements, right? I mean, it's around the world, and that's what we talked about, you and I, during the debt ceiling debate. That we are all interconnected, and this is talking about they look at this country and go, these Republicans will take us to the brink of defaulting on the United States' full faith and credit. They will do that.
No question. Just entirely for their own self-interest and without. Look, if you have people without conscience and without shame, then there is no way to say how do you shape? How do you think about what you've done? They really do not care. The Koch brothers really do not care. And when you start to look at all the ripple effects of a group of people who are affecting public policy without conscience and without shame, that's what you get.
Yeah.
People who,
David,
don't let anything happen.
How I wish we were together to watch this last Republican debate, because the most entertaining ever. It's the first time I thought there was going to be, yes, fisticuffs.
I loved Mike from North Carolina. It should be Rock the Sock and Republicans. I mean, that's even what it was. I have been watching the clips. I actually go back. I mean, this has got to be done as a mashup. There's got to be wonderful soundtracks to it. But when you see that moment in which Mitt puts his mitt on Rick Perry, the most important thing is actually watching their demeanor. And we know this from 4 years ago. All the other Republicans hated Mitt last time.
Right.
He is not liked by fellow Republicans, largely because he doesn't have to do what they do. He is self-funded. They're all struggling and desperately trying to raise money, and Mitt is never going to have to drop out because he doesn't have enough money. And they all resent that.
Right.
But having said that, and that they sort of perceive that as a sense of entitlement on his part. I got to call my friends in Texas to get money. You just write yourself a check.
Yeah.
But they can't do that. So it bubbles up in this anger and this resentment. And what you saw was the look on Rick Perry's face.
Oh man! I mean, this is the nastiest, most personal debate I ever remember seeing. How about you?
It was one of them. It was right up there. There are those moments. There was the debate between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, where Obama said, kind of testily to Hillary, "You're likable enough." That hurt. That hurt Obama. That was one of those moments where actually, you recall, that's when Hillary came back and won New Hampshire.
Right.
These things do register, and Mitt Romney's demeanor was amused, funny, and even though he kept saying, you know, what are the rules here? You don't allow it. He didn't seem petulant. He seemed.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, who won that one. People say that he seemed thin-skinned and flustered, but, you know, then, you know, obviously Romney's advisors say that, you know, the governor of Texas came across as mean, petulant, and nasty. So who? I mean, I thought Mitt came across as condescending and irritating. I can't tell who won that.
You know what? In the race to the bottom, it is hard to measure. I would say Mitt did. If I'm looking at it from a clip, and I always say that the way you look at television commercials for candidates or you way to look at a debate is turn the sound off. Look at the faces. Look at it. You don't have to hear what they say. Look at how they look. And Mitt looked comfortable in his own skin. And Rick Perry, because that's how people.
And here's what I love. Don't. Yeah, here's what I love. One Republican strategist said it's only going to get worse from now. Everyone attacks everyone from now on, which is so awesome for us. We're just the kids in the bleachers going fight, fight, fight. Shove them into the lockers.
Let's take a look at what's going to happen. These votes are, you know, it doesn't look like New Hampshire will be moved to December. It looks like they've called Nevada's bluff. It's going to be in February. So the first vote is Iowa, January 3rd. We're on October 20th. This is really soon. And, you know, you've got the Rick Santorums and the Michelle Bachmanns who planted themselves in Iowa to try and win that caucus. That's the strategy. And a lot of people have won Iowa and then done nothing else. So that could happen.
By the way,
not be a factor.
The candidates will cross paths at a diner in Iowa this weekend, so you know what that means. Food fight. There could be a food fight. Could be Animal House.
Apples and oranges will be hurled.
If Chris Christie was in, you could somehow see him doing the John Belushi role. What am I now? A zit.
And yeah.
Pushing the cottage cheese out of his... Yeah.
And hitting someone over the head with a guitar. Right. Here's what I'm trying to figure out, okay? And you know, we see the subtext. There are, as you pointed out talking to Carl, you know, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when the Bachmanns, the Gingriches, the Santorums, Huntsman, who didn't even appear, I mean, these people get out. They're going to get out soon enough, sooner rather than later. Where do they go? And what happens, will there be a, you know, sort of a consensus against Mitt Romney? And,
right.
and
well,
if there is, there's a majority in the party against him.
You know,
it
does seem like he made two mistakes, and we'll see how those play out. Obviously, the White House jumped on them. But the one moment, you know, they say he didn't object to having undocumented immigrants working for him because it's illegal. It's because he said, I'm running for office, for Pete's sake.
I'm running for office, for God's sake. I can't.
This looks bad. I mean, I'd do it if I wasn't in the public eye. I mean, right? I mean, that's a misstep.
It is sort of unfair. You hired a contractor, and, you know, you don't necessarily check the papers of all the people working for a contractor. You expect them to tell you honestly what they apparently did, which is that they didn't hire illegals. So,
right.
You know, this isn't like, you know, this person worked in my house and I, you know, I wrote the check directly to him or her. So that I don't know is going to stick. The flip-flops on health care.
What about the flip-flopping's, you know, that's a given with him, but I mean, I thought the other thing that I wonder if it's going to gather as much steam, it was much more egregious, particularly with the Occupy Wall Street movement happening, is him basically saying, let's hurry up with these foreclosures. let's hurry up. Why are we slow walking that? I mean,
yeah, that is not a good thing. This is also a guy who, remember, at the time of the auto bailout, and this, his father was governor of Michigan.
Right.
I was just reading, actually, that his father was considered for the job your father got. There was some talk that George Romney would be Barry Goldwater's running mate. Think how different history would be.
Oh, my goodness.
But his father, you know, governor of Michigan, Mitt Romney, in 2008, said to Detroit should go bankrupt. We should not bail us out. That stuff is going to come back to haunt him. Some of the things that he has said and done, particularly around the economic crisis, are going to hurt him over time. But my question is,
I found that stunning. If you actually listen to the sound on that, you know, like walking this. Let's hurry up so, you know, the bank can take these back. We can rent these places out, fix them up. And it's like, really? You just want the most people possible to lose their house. And, you know, places like Bain Capital can buy things up, investment groups can buy them up, right?
well, actually, you know, the Occupy Wall Street people will have a place to go and occupy.
Yeah.
There'll be all these empty houses.
Yeah.
Why do they go there? They're, you know, they're not being used by people. The other, you remember, how long ago was it that Mitt Romney said in New Hampshire, I think, you know, I feel your pain. I'm unemployed, too.
Oh, please, dear God. He's human clip art. David Bender!
I'm living, and listen, you now have an iPhone, an iPad.
Yes.
Chris, can you show her how to download the Progressive Voices app?
Well, she needs to set up her iTunes store.
I will do that. Mm-hmm. I've got one. I just
you
forgot
can do
the password.
That, and then you can listen
the password.
To yourself on the radio. You'll hear your own voice, and it won't be inside your head.
Awesome. Awesome. David Bender is coming to L.A. at Sexy Liberal Week here in L.A. We will see you at Sexy Liberal Show, what, tomorrow night?
You'll see me tomorrow
in Los Angeles. Okay.
See you tomorrow, David.
Bye, honey. All right, love you. SexyLiberal.com, Sexy Liberal on Facebook, by the way. There's only teensy, tiny, a few single seats, I think, left for Friday night. So hooray!
Hooray!
46 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
And I want to say that we know that the Ustream is down right now,
yeah.
But we're working on it. It looks like a Ustream issue. So you can go to Ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller to chat, but you're going to have to go to radio station websites to listen. So thank you.
And feel free to start conspiracy theories. Maybe I have something horrible stuck on my teeth and we did it ourselves. Something.
Could be.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've pitted out your shirt.
And it's terrible because I'm topless now, so I'm sorry you're missing that, everybody. Dan.
Not much to see there anyway.
Shush.
What?
Dan, it's supposed to be theater of the mind. You're missing the ginormous rack right now, you stream. Dan in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys. Hey, you know, first thing I usually do in the morning is switch on Joe.
Yeah.
And, I saw the headline news about Gaddafi, and then I switched over to CNN, same thing. Then I said, well, okay, I know if I go to Fox, they won't be covering it because it's, you know.
It might make Obama look good, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I switched it over. Of course, they weren't talking about it. What they were talking about is this goofball from their morning show. I think his name was Brian. Number one, he had a really horrible fat 70s tie that looked like a bib. And
like a lobster bib.
Yeah, and I mean, come on, and the color was horrible. But and of course he was interviewing a Fox analysis on the foreclosures. And he wasn't getting the right answers from this analysis. And he was at the end of the interview, he said, "Well, you know, because he was getting all the wrong information, the same kind of information the Democrats have been saying." He said, "Well, at least those people had a nice place to live for a while."
Oh, boy.
That's the positive aspect.
Yeah.
And, of course, then they had Eric Bowler give his analysis on this Gaddafi thing. It was like watching high school football coach's analysis. It was like I said, a high school football coach's analysis.
I don't understand what your point is on that.
Well, his analysis was horrible.
Whose analysis?
Eric Bowler's of Gaddafi.
Oh, Eric Bowling.
Bowling, not Bowler.
Oh, yes, don't
Bowler,
be.
Well, he looks like a bowler, so.
All right, thank you. For a minute, I thought you were smearing our brilliant Eric Bowler, who was coming up at the top of the hour.
Thursday, and we've got Eric Bowler?
Yes. I loved his piece this week, and he was couldn't do Monday, so anyway.
Right.
I know what he was talking. Bowling.
Bowling,
that moron.
Yeah.
The Fox moron. That's unlike our brilliant. By the way, we have the best guests in the entire universe, can I just say?
Yes, we do.
We have the smartest, funniest people in the universe. Carl Frisch was on, David Bender, Eric Bowler coming up, Mike Papantonio
mm-hmm.
from Ring of Fire, and Ari Berman of The Nation, all on today's show.
Holy crap.
I'm applauding myself. Look at me. Check me out like I have anything to do with it. All right. Rebecca's out there screaming. You bitch, I worked all day yesterday with those bookings.
Oh, she is so excited to
look
go up
I did.
And introduce you at the Sexy Liberal shows this weekend.
I'm writing material for her. I'm writing surly insults for her.
Oh, she's an insult comic now. She's like Don Rickles. Okay.
Exactly. You know, she's not going to have anything good to say about me. Yeah, by the way, yeah, sexy liberal in L.A., that's a triple bonus.
Yeah.
By the way, someone said seeing Jim Ward live, it's going to be like seeing the Beatles live, which I think it's...
You're going to get full on mookage.
I think that's underestimating.
Mm-hmm.
Voice deity Jim Ward and Chris LaVoy and Rebecca Taylor will be opening the big show, Sexy Liberal Friday and Saturday in L.A.
I'm just going to go up there and wave high or something.
Go to sexyliberal.com, Sexy Liberal on Facebook, then see if they're... You know what? Maybe they're single seats, but I'm telling you, everybody gets some Sexy Liberal strange when they go solo to the show.
Yeah.
You don't go home alone.
Who was it?
From Sexy Liberal.
Who was it yesterday that said all the singles put their keys in a bowl at
yeah.
the beginning of the show and
Sexy Liberal Swingers.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a key party.
Check it out. All right, and then San Francisco next weekend, the other big party. There's still a few tickets just for Friday night, I believe. So, all right, in case you just tuned in and have not heard the breaking news, if you're eating any sort of meal breakfast, just time it before you look at the color picture of what supposedly is Gaddafi dead, because I made some used food there this morning. That was not... Yeah, this photograph does appear to show him, they're saying in the story, wounded or dead, he looks pretty dead.
He looks kind of dead.
Pretty dead.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Really, most sincerely dead.
Mm-hmm. it's funny. Wizard of Oz joke.
Thank
okay,
you.
Look at you.
Yeah, you don't get those every day.
Uh-huh. The Reuters was told Gaddafi had been wounded in both legs. Reuters later reported he had died of his wounds. The official said he was also hit in the head. There was a lot of firing against his group, and he died. There's no independent confirmation just yet. What they're reporting thus far is he was trying to flee in a convoy when NATO warplanes attacked. Mm-hmm. They said the NATO warplanes struck the convoy and hit four cars as it headed west.
Yeah. And CNN is also reporting that one of his sons was killed in the same attack.
Yeah. All right. So we will keep you up to date on that. it sounds... by the way, it's hard for me to watch these stories about animals because I'm such an animal lover.
Oh, God, this is awful.
All I was doing was watching this animal story in Ohio.
Yeah.
And I kept saying, well, because I was...
Drunk.
Yes. Like I am most nights. But I just kept saying to Lisa, I'm like, well, I don't know. Why can't they just shoot them with tranquilizer darts? Why do they have to... But then I found out the information because I was like, I didn't get why they had to kill them. These animals that were released from the zoo.
Yeah. Even
I was why couldn't they? But apparently, I didn't realize they were saying it's not that easy to do that. He was saying it's hard to tranquilize them even during the day.
Yeah.
And for some reason at night, it's more difficult. And they were saying that they did shoot one of the tigers with a tranquilizer dart and he just went crazy.
Right.
And so, you know, they obviously made a decision.
And this was in a populated area.
Yeah.
So you don't.
And it's it's just horrible, this story.
Even Jack Hanna said that, you know, officials did the right thing by having to shoot and kill the animals.
Oh, it's just...
But then you had herpes monkey on the loose. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's nice. That's like that's not a horror film. What? Seriously?
What? A monkey with herpes was on the loose?
You can't make this stuff up.
Going around licking cold sores?
Listen, can you imagine, too? I mean, it's horrible and tragic, but you know the stuff we go through in traffic here in L.A. Can you? Somebody hit a tiger. Can you? You would never... You'd just be like... What the hell was that?
You get the occasional mountain lion around here, but a tiger?
I mean, you would think you were drunk even if you're not. You're like, what was that?
Yeah. You had Narnia walking down the street.
Yeah, they're saying, I don't know what this hour is, it's still...
What? It's not
this
funny.
Just,
it's
that's
tragic.
What I mean. If you're an animal lover, it's so horrible. And then, you're like going, can you imagine what this looked like? It's I guess at this hour, they're still saying a wolf and a herpes monkey.
Herpes monkey. Herpes monkey.
Stop it. And does the wolf have chlamydia or anything? Or is it just they say there's still a wolf at large, too? I don't know.
Chlamydia?
Wolf? I don't know. This is just... The world has gone wild.
The world has gone insane.
Okay. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. It's Sexy Liberal Week here in Los Angeles. SexyLiberal.com, the website. Check it out. Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and I are performing at the Wadsworth Theater Friday and Saturday night. Opening the show, Chris Lavoie, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Taylor. Yeah, I was spitballing some jokes for Rebecca. I said I thought she could say, I can't believe you people paid to see her. I would pay anything to get away from her. See? I can write her surly. It's surly. Rebecca says. It's my new website. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the regular old website. You can email us all there. In the meantime, Eric Bollard on a Thursday. Be still, my
heart. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
That's a big name to drop. By the way, can you believe it's killing me not to be able to drop the big name surprises that are going to be at the Sexy Liberal Show in L.A.?
I know, right?
All right. Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
Hello. I'm so thrilled you could come back because you know that I look at this. If you could see Ustream,
yeah.
I lovingly highlight your pieces because I love them so much. This week's, if Occupy Wall Street is so fringe, why can't Fox News stop covering it? Yeah, they seem all over the place on how to cover this, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, and the right-wing media is just sort of completely scatterbrained about what to do about this. And the polls that's showing, you know, the Time poll that came out this week, Occupy Wall Street is twice as popular as the Tea Party in terms of
right.
the American public. That just drives them crazy. So Fox News has been all over the place. It's sort of last week and this week they sort of reached the kitchen sink approach. They're just throwing everything out there. You know, they're race. You know, people protesting are racist or anti-Semites or communists
right.
and all this stuff.
They're communists and Nazis if you're paying attention.
Yeah, which is hard to do.
Yeah.
And what Fox News is also saying is, oh, these people are completely irrelevant, they're meaningless, they're fringe. The fringe is a favorite word. And so I looked at the coverage, and lo and behold, Fox News, you know, can't stop talking about this fringe, meaningless occupation. So
right.
that doesn't quite add up. They are positively obsessed, and I think because they are concerned that they see it gaining traction.
Yeah, as you say, they've condemned Occupy Wall Street as the fringe of the fringe, the dumbest revolution of the last 100 years, spoiled kids, sludge who had
yeah.
absolutely no purpose in life. And meanwhile, speaking of polls, a new poll out today from National Journal shows 59% of Americans agree with Occupy Wall Street. Moreover, they support a surtax on millionaires, something Democrats, of course, have proposed to pay for the jobs bill, by a huge margin of 68% to 27%. These findings, as you say, consistent with several other polls that the on the 99% movement. Yeah.
And I think what the pollsters are finding and what freaks out Fox News is Occupy Wall Street and what they're talking about is truly a populist movement. The
right.
Tea Party started out as sort of this pseudo-populist movement, but over the years it's become obvious what it is. It's just a far-right, Obama-hating movement, and that's why its poll numbers are abysmal. People over time have seen it for what it is. People have been, I think, hungry for a truly populist rhetoric and approach, and right now they hear that from Occupy Wall Street, and they agree with it.
Well, and, you know, the reason you know it's not what do we call the Tea Party, AstroTurf,
right.
whatever, is because clearly some people there are not Obama fans, fans of the Democrats. I mean, it's not a controllable movement in some ways, right?
No, it's not bought and paid for the way the Tea Party was. And how within the first weeks, if not months, Tea Party basically just became a Republican get-out-the-vote mechanism. The reason you don't see Democrats down on Wall Street or at most of these protests is, yeah, they're not quite sure what to make of it. They don't control it. They're not controlling the message. If you go down there, you see lots of complaints and criticisms of the Democratic Party and their legislation and Obama. So this is not part and parcel of the Democratic Party, unlike the Tea Party, which was completely bought and paid for.
Well, you know, and I love how you do the actual numbers. You say the Fox family thinks Occupy Wall Street is a monumentally unserious event, yet it takes time to mention nearly 350 times just this week. You know,
right.
So, yeah.
Again, right, it's fringe and it's meaningless and no one pay attention to it, but we're going to mention it 9 times an hour every hour for a week.
Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then, My other favorite part of your piece was attacking Wall Street. Brent Bozell pretends the media ignored the Tea Party. I love this.
Yeah.
The Tea Party has gotten such an unbelievable, as you write, it's awkward to argue the media ignored the Tea Party when, in fact, a major cable channel practically sponsored the Tea Party. That's right.
Yeah, two things interesting. Again, this is part of the kitchen sink approach, and one of the complaints is, oh my gosh, the press is paying way too much attention to Occupy Wall Street. They totally ignored the Tea Party when it emerged in 2009. Again, you just crunch the numbers. That's totally ridiculous. And the other thing, what they have to, what they have to ignore when they're making this claim about the Tea Party is they have to completely ignore the role Fox News played. So it's interesting. It's very telling. In the right-wing mind, Fox News isn't really part of the press because their allegation is the press ignored the Tea Party. Oh, by the way, Fox News did not stop advertising promotion, but Fox News isn't really the press. There's something else. It's sort of this inadvertent confession on their part that Fox News isn't really news. There's something else entirely, so we're just going to set them over to the side.
Yeah, exactly. Eric, we've been obviously talking about the breaking news this morning that Gaddafi is apparently dead. I'd like to do a feature called What the Fox, where I try to figure out, what they're going to say. How do you... How do they handle things that in any way reflect well on Obama and the Obama
right.
White House?
How do they handle things that they wish had happened during the Bush administration?
This will be George
exactly.
Bush's victory, right?
Yeah.
That list is getting kind of long at this point, things they'd wish Bush had accomplished. So, it'll be much more subdued. If you go to the right-wing blogosphere, if you listen to, right-wing talk radio today, this is not a great day for anyone, and even if they have to mention it, they'll find some way to downplay it or things like that. Because, again, anything Obama does or anything that happens under his watch is wrong. And certainly the notion that a Democrat, in the White House can achieve national security goals or things like that, that's completely out of the realm. So it just doesn't exist. If Bush were in the White House, this would sort of be a national holiday.
Yeah.
But with Obama in the White House, let's just move on.
People. It was like the Onion headline when Bin Laden was killed. Black man in Washington admits to killing elderly man. I got to ask you before you go, how awesome the Republican debate, and is it going to get even nastier?
It's amazing, right? I mean, that was they were just really going at it because, look, they realized, just look at Herman Cain. He's not even really running a campaign. I mean, he's out on book tour in Tennessee. He's sort of the front runner who can't be bothered to running a campaign. They realize these debates, this whole primary season has become a complete television phenomenon with the debates, and it's basically just a media audition, and they don't really have to do anything, or a lot of them don't even do anything in between the debates. It's completely run on TV. And so that's why the debates have become so important to them, and that's why it's going to get, crazier and crazier, because they've decided this is the only really outlet they're going to have with voters. It's kind of amazing.
Well,
they completely ditched the traditional campaign, which is, travel around the country and meet people.
Well, this is like nap time in a hammock for people like you and I. We're just like, you're doing our work. Go for it. Yeah. Eric Bollert, thanks so much for taking time for us later in the week, because, I can't live without you.
All right, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, talk to you next week. There he goes. Yay! Hi, Jim Moore.
Herpes monkey, riding on a wolf. Herpes monkey.
We'll have to leave it there.
I think herpes monkey was killed by the wolf, though. Yeah.
Herpes monkey had a Twitter account yesterday. That's what we've come to in America.
And so did Zanesville Wolf, at Zanesville Wolf on Twitter.
The monkey tweeted, Jim. "Gack!"
Okay. All right. This is Jim, isn't it horrible because you're an animal lover like I am, and it's just I was just drunkenly yelling at the TV all night. Why can't they just tranquilize them? And I didn't realize that.
You're saying like I hate animals.
Yes.
Well, I don't hate animals. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, actually, one of one of the escaped monkeys was eaten by a lion.
Mm.
This is just some sort of Disney film on crap.
That's
this whole
why
thing.
You shouldn't wear.
That's a circle of life.
Heavily armed,
What? That's what Disney taught me.
Not by a herpes monkey. That's not a Disney movie. This is a horrible. Heavily armed
Herbie
cops.
Herbie the herpes monkey.
Hunted down the remaining wild animals that terrorize an Ohio town. after they were let loose by the suicidal owner of an animal preserve. First of all, Rachel covered some of this, but I'm sorry. Of all the awful things John Kasich is doing, you know, there were... How could this guy get a license to do this?
Yeah.
He, of course, relaxed regulations like Republicans are wont to do. But this guy was... He had a history of, you know, what do you call it, animal abuse and neglect and... I can't wait a minute.
Herpes? Transmission? What?
He had been warned... What was his name? Thompson. He was had been warned repeatedly over the last decade to get his animals under control, no less than 30 times in the past year. He was arrested in April of 2005 for cruelty and torture of cattle and bison he had on his property. He was also... Wait a minute. Where's my... hang on a second. I'm going to do something. Oh, he was just released from prison after serving 1 year on federal weapons charges. He had been cited in the past, as I said, for animal abuse and neglect. And, you know, Jack Hanna was saying he'd visited. And, of course, the conditions were deplorable. I mean, just how does a guy get a license to have these kind of animals?
It's Ohio.
It's Ohio. Ohio is one of less than 10 states that allow people to keep exotic animals at home.
Yeah, I mean, so what they're saying
what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
They said these are 300-pound Bengal tigers we had to put down. They were very aggressive. They this is why I finally got my answer. A vet shot a tiger with a tranquilizer from 15 yards away, and the officer said it just went crazy and started to run. So officers were started. And I guess the problem is, you know, they were saying at night. It was about to turn evening, so it was the timing of this, too. It's horrible. They were saying human life. Jack Hanna said human life has to come first. You can't tranquilize an animal at night. It's hard enough during the daytime. And so, you know, it's just a horrible story all the way around. Ugh.
That's why we need less regulation.
We don't need herpes monkeys with Twitter accounts. There's something has gone awry in America.
Don't laugh. Stop it. You're an animal lover.
18 minutes after the hour.
Bananas are good, was his last tweet, I think.
I hope Herman Cain saved his last poop, because I'm sure that's used food somebody can eat.
We got some used dead tigers.
Okay.
You're an animal lover, remember that.
I hate you. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. You make me feel like dancing. I feel
like dancing. Ooh, dancing. Ah. No thanks, I got a thing with my hip.
24 minutes after the hour. This just in, Muammar Gaddafi has been eaten by a Bengal tiger just outside Cleveland.
And attacked by a herpes monkey.
What? Yeah, herpes monkey ate his face first.
That's what that picture looks like.
No, who's the, what do you call it?
AP is reporting that the Libyan Prime Minister is saying that Muammar Gaddafi was killed.
All right, not, presumably, over there, not in
Zanesville, Ohio.
No. I apologize. Stephanie Miller Show apologizes for the
error.
Although,
if he were going to hide out, that would be, you know, no one would think to look there.
No. Brian in Charlotte, North Carolina. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I wanted to get to you before Bike Cracky Art did this morning. I think Gaddafi buried the lead here. Joe actually led this morning, Joe, with a report out of the Washington Post that Obama is, quote, unquote, awash in Wall Street cash. He basically said that the Wall Street gave more money to Obama than all the other Republican candidates combined. Well, if you look at the article, it says that Wall Street gave more money to the DNC. He didn't make any comments about how much money the RNC actually made. And my question is...
Yeah, right. And currently they're giving a lot more money to Mitt Romney, obviously.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the most important thing is you would have to assume if Obama's talking out both sides of his mouth, you would have to assume that everybody in Wall Street is not like Warren Buffett. You have some people actually in Wall Street that want them to raise their taxes.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, so it's just right wing spin. You know, they're trying their hardest to throw stuff at the wall because they know Mitt Romney and all these other guys cannot beat Obama. Period.
Yep. I hear you. All right, Carl in Asheville, North Carolina, on Gaddafi. Hey, Carl.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
Listen, you know, you just talk about that. You have to go back to Michelle Bachmann and the Seven Dwarfs and the debate the other day. And she just out of the blue started bashing President Obama on his foreign policy, and she thought, and specifically Libya. And I just found that odd, and I'm wondering, what does she and the Republican Party this morning feel about their natural platform of national security being just pulled up from under them?
Yeah, exactly. Well, but she's an expert because she was wearing a military-style jacket.
Yes, she was, and she can't say Obamacare. But it's amazing that the strategy that they would normally use,
right,
national defense, has been totally taken off the chessboard for them.
Yeah, no, exactly.
You can trust what I say because I have epaulettes. Marcus picked it out for me.
Oh, boy, it was a crew.
Marcus said this will give me authority. Commanding.
A lot of his patients were epaulettes.
It did look, Hal said yesterday, it did look a lot like the Michael Jackson video jacket.
Yeah,
which one?
Right.
Which, not the...
Black or white?
I don't know.
Thriller?
No, the one where they're wearing military jackets.
I'm now going to moonwalk. Backwards in high heels.
They don't care about us. Okay, Rebecca in Seattle. That was on the last tour. They didn't quite make it. Okay, so Rebecca in Seattle.
Stephen.
Rebecca in Seattle. Yes, hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
I'm an animal trainer and horse trainer, and I also work with some exotics. And I wanted to call and disagree with Mr. Hanna. I believe this shouldn't have happened in the first place. They need to change their laws in Ohio.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Make it more difficult for people to own these animals. And also...
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you go...
Right.
These are... I mean, Chris was saying, like, 18 Bengal tigers were killed. There's only 1,400 left in the world. I mean, how does a guy get a permit to own...
18?
Yeah.
God.
He probably never got a permit. They probably don't even have those types of programs. We have reindeer, and we have to have permits.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Washington State has much tougher laws. Ohio is just apparently really lax in exotic animal.
Yeah, this was Wizard of Oz on crack. This was lions and tigers and bears, literally.
So you're right. The laws need to be changed.
They need to train their police. They need to train the police in the use of, and they also need to arm them with tranquilizer weapons.
Yeah. Rebecca, do you know, I mean, that's what I was just... All I'm, reading is the thing about it's hard to tranquilize them at night. Why is that?
Their metabolism is different at night.
Because they're going into hunting mode, right?
Yes, and they're also probably full of adrenaline from being let out, and they were upset. And sometimes tranquilizers can have the opposite effect.
Right. Oh, God. Seriously tragic. All right. 29 minutes after the hour, back with Mike Papantonio, co-host of Ring of Fire, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Isn't that the name of the old alky who mops up the floor for free drinks?
You're right. We do have funnier signs at our protest. This one, I am healthier than whole, but not as much as skim. I am the 2%.
Yep.
Next to carton of milk.
Carton of milk.
There you go.
See.
I get it.
That's
funny. Mm-hmm. All right. And I can't get enough of the Siri humor.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you could make Siri do all sorts of things if you wanted.
Wow.
Somebody's talking to someone else's Siri in this cartoon. Email folder titled Pornography to Mom.
Yeah.
Google Top 10 Bestiality Sex Tours, Forward Results to Boss.
Reset default settings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's like the greatest blackmail tool ever.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
talk to your Siri for a second. All right. Kids, one of them peoples I see on the TV where I go, damn, he's smart. I wish I could get him on the radio show more, is Mike Papantonio of Ring of Fire and everywhere else. Good morning, Mike.
Stephanie, how are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Great. I hear your tour's going great.
Aw, thank you, honey. I hope you get to catch it soon.
I do, too.
It's filthy and way beneath you. But anyway, every time I see you, you're fighting the good fight for something. And I heard of something recently as relates to women's health and safety that I thought's really important. You are involved in a lawsuit. You're a big, fancy lawyer. if many people don't know that. There is a, tell us about this birth control pill. It's called Yaz.
Yeah, Yaz is out there killing people, Stephanie. You have Bayer that's at it again. Bayer, you might remember, is the company that made this product called Factor VIII that hemophiliacs
took. Oh, right.
And unfortunately, it gave them HIV, and thousands of them died. You would have a child come home, infect the sister and the brother, and the entire family would be wiped out. And then the product was taken off the market in America, and they shipped it overseas, and it killed more thousands of people. So that's the kind of company we're talking about here as we talk about Yaz. They created a...
It's Y-A-Z, right? And it's a birth control pill.
Right.
The first woman, I mean, she's claiming it did make her blind, correct?
Right. Well, the ABC, you know, sometimes we lose faith in mainstream media. ABC did an incredibly important story on this where they showed the results of what this product can do. The truth is there are tons and tons of birth controls. This is not one you want to use. This is one that's a history of causing strokes, heart attacks, deep vein thrombosis, pulmonary embolism, sudden death syndrome. I mean, so the real problem here, Stephanie, is they went out, Bayer went out and said, look, if you take this, your acne is going to get better. If mm-hmm. you take this, your PMS is going to go away. Well, here's what we found out. As far as PMS, a woman could take a sugar pill, and she could take Yaz, and the sugar pill would work the same way, exactly the same results as Yaz. It didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So they started this ad campaign. They spent hundreds of millions of dollars marketing this product. Matter of fact, they spent about 10 times more marketing than they did actually studying the product.
And this story, you know, I'm reading it, is heartbreaking. A 24-year-old, she started using it in the run-up to her wedding after she saw the advertisement saying, you know, it's going to help ease bloating and acne and blah, blah, saw the advertisement. 3 months later, she ends up in the hospital after her heart stops. She's in a coma, right? She comes out of the coma, and she's still blind.
Still blind. Now, you'd like to think that's not an isolated story. That's the tragedy here. And the real tragedy is it's still on the market, and you still have the dysfunctional corporate whore FDA that's doing everything the industry wants, and they still have it out there. There's no reason in the world a person should be taking Yaz. But right now, it's the number one seller in America.
Well, this is what happens, you know, Mike, that's so heartbreaking with so many of these drugs that, you know, you find out later, and this is why, as you know, there's these class action lawsuits. I mean, they're spending, what, they made more than $600 million in 2008 on this pill, so there's your answer.
Yeah, they made $1 billion, to be exact.
Okay, sorry.
And they're making about $2 billion a year since then. But the problem is we always want to assume that if it's on the market, surely somebody's looked at it. The FDA must have looked at it. The company sure wouldn't send anything out there that's going to kill you. We got somebody, the doctors understand what's going on. None of that is true. If you're taking any medication nowadays, it is self-help because the damn Calvary ain't coming. Mm-hmm. You better find out. It's been on the market a while. You better go online and find out what the adverse events are, because government is not watching out for this whole thing. And here, look, let me, in this situation, there have been four studies. One Dutch study that came out, published in the British Medical Journal, found a 6.3. That is a massive increase in venous thrombosis for people taking Yaz. Nevertheless, the FDA has not closed them down. They're still thinking about what they're supposed to do. And as they're thinking about as the FDA is thinking about what the hell they're supposed to do, we still have women coming in this office every week that have had strokes, that have had blood clots, that are seriously, seriously hurt by this product. And it's just another issue. You know, these people screaming, we don't want government. Well, I can tell you, where the FDA is concerned, we don't have government.
Well, I mean, and there's about 32 federal Yaz lawsuits right now currently pending against Bayer.
Oh, no, there's 9,000. It's 9,000 now. I mean, the numbers are staggering. And look, some of them are gallbladder disease. Those are the less serious cases. But the real serious cases, people are dying. And FDA is sitting there acting like there's no problem here, because what happens, the people that are making this decision to keep this product on the market, chances are they'll end up going to work for Bayer somewhere down the line. That's how the system works. And this is a company that, if you understand their history, it's deplorable. This is a company, they had to pay $257 million in a drug fraud fine. They've been hit with felony charges at least, you know, on multiple occasions. So if you had a person like this, if this drug company, if we said this drug company's a person, and they had that kind of criminal conduct, that kind of history, we'd really be suspect of them. But, you know, FDA's business as usual.
Mike, well, you know, I got to say, the stuff that you work on, I mean, I always hear these talking points on the right about, you know, frivolous lawsuits and tort reform. And, you know, this is exactly the reason why we need, you know, people like you, because like you say, you can't, how does a normal person fight bear by themselves when, you know, they're knowingly putting drugs like this allegedly on the market, right?
Well, it'd stay out there forever. The typical case like this, our law firm alone spends about $5 to $6 million just to get this thing launched before trial. And so if you have a person out there that is not, that can't do that, it's a stacked deck. See, what they want to do, what the U.S. Chamber of Commerce wants, they want to be able to pay silk stocking law firms. So they want to pay the guy that's working for Bayer as much as he wants. They want to say, look, you can pay him $10,000 an hour, we don't care. But where it comes to the claimant's lawyer, that's the only person that's drawn the line in the sand, they're saying, no, we want to shut the door for that person. It is completely stacked, and it's stacked in a way that the corporate America wins every time. It's kind of it's that same element of what the Occupy movement's all about.
Yeah, you know, the only time Republicans are okay with hiring fancy lawyers is when John Boehner hires them to defend DOMA with taxpayer money.
Exactly.
Then they're fine.
Yeah, exactly. So this is a horrible case. It's we're just now finding out more and more every day. I'm going to try the first case in January of this year. It's going to be tried in St. Louis. And so as this thing develops, the thing to understand to me is a person, there's no reason in the world to be taking Yaz. There are a lot of first and second generation pills that are much better than this. This is something that it was nothing but a cash cow. Don't even need it on the market. There's no purpose for it. Doesn't cure cancer. Doesn't stop heart attacks. All it does is causes heart attacks. And so the point is, when a person goes to the doctor, most of the time, they don't even know the questions to ask, because Bayer has done such a hell of a job promoting this product as if it's some kind of miracle pill.
Yeah.
Anything but.
You know, I may have to put you on retainer, because I'm afraid that Lunesta might be eating my brain, but I'm not really certain yet. But just in case.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. I don't know. I'm being attacked by a marauding green butterfly. Mike, tell me quickly before you go, because, you know, obviously Ring of Fire Radio is so popular, so great. What is your take on Occupy movement and how that's going to play out in 2012?
I think it's going to continue. I don't think we're thinking it might be good for Obama. I don't think it is. Obama, look, he's under the microscope right here. And the people, a lot of the kids that are out there in this Occupy movement were the same people that were knocking on doors for Obama the last time he was elected. And they're saying, you know, you made a promise to us, you talked about change. You talked about how you're going to shake the system up, and now you're part of the system. You started out playing hoop, now you're playing golf with the country club types. You are a Wall Street Democrat, even worse than Bill Clinton, if you can imagine.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, but the problem, Mike, is that, you know, if you look at polling, I mean, most Americans agree with what Occupy Wall Street is doing, but they also agree with the president on his jobs plan, on taxing the rich, on you know, and so I think there's still time to take control of this narrative, isn't there before?
There is, but I think it begins with an apology, Stephanie. I mean, I think it's something, first of all, get down there. He's doing one thing right. He's pulling our troops out of Iraq. The next thing he needs to do before the election is pull them out of Afghanistan. Say, look, I heard you. I made a promise I was going to close these wars down. I'm doing that. We're going to save $1 trillion by doing that. And then go down to the damn Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street, and say, look, I did some things wrong. I'm sorry. Give me another chance. He needs to do that.
Mike, but, you know, you watch the Republican debates, and you go, to me, it couldn't be a starker choice this year. You know, you got Herman Cain, who's the front runner, who's saying, let's stay in Iraq forever, let this ridiculous tax plan, and I mean, you just got to sit back and watch them disembowel each other, don't you?
Yeah, don't get me wrong. We have to, look, Democrats have to win. Either we have to take this attitude, we have to win now, or we're sitting back and we're waiting for another catastrophic Republican president. Yeah. That's the choice, and we're hoping that if we get a catastrophic
catastrophic Republican president, things are going to be so bad that maybe things will change. That's very, very dangerous.
Yeah.
So there's no alternatives here. He has to be reelected, but I want him to be reelected. I'm doing everything I can to make sure he's reelected. But it has to begin by saying, you know what? I had bad advisors around me. I never should have listened to Summers and Geithner and Eric Holder. I screwed up. Forgive me. Give me another shot.
Yeah, but they're all still there.
They're all still there. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Mike Papantonio, always a pleasure. Ringoffireradio.com. You got to take a listen. And thanks so much for taking time. And this is an important warning. The birth control pill is called Yaz. Stop taking it. Mike, Dr. Papantonio says so. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you a lot, Steph.
All right. Talk to you again soon. Bye-bye. There he goes. Mike Papantonio. By the way, the Stephanie Miller Show would like to mention that I spin here at Yas, which is entirely different in Los Angeles, which I highly recommend.
It stands for yoga and spinning.
Yeah, and it's on my website. Go to yas.com. It's a fabulous spinning class, and it's not dangerous. It's not at all a dangerous birth control pill.
Well, unless you fall off the bike, which Stephanie's been known to do.
No, I'm clipped in. I can't. Okay. You can't. 46.
Don't do it drunk. No. Don't spin drunk.
46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Steve in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steve.
How are you, baby?
Hi, the baby.
I live and work in Hollywood, and there is a rumor galloping through the Hollywood community that Muammar Gaddafi and Osama bin Laden both died of heart attacks on top of Kathy Griffin.
Really?
Now, I can't...
Really?
I can't confirm, but it just doesn't go away.
All right, thanks.
I don't know what that's about.
Yes. Well, and that takes some doing on this show.
Was that insulting Kathy Griffin?
I don't know.
Have men died on top of her?
I don't think so.
Like Ronde
Steve Wozniak, maybe? I don't know. I mean, she dated Steve Wozniak for a while.
There. I don't know.
Charles in Washington State.
I'm pretty sure that was insulting Kathy Griffin.
I see.
Okay.
Just like it's insulting to compare pigs to Rush Limbaugh, and since I left that voicemail years ago, I felt compelled to call and say that I really think the ones who were terrorized in this whole thing in Ohio were the animals themselves. And the important point, I think, out of it came from Kucinich last night on Lawrence O'Donnell when he pointed out that the previous governor of Ohio knew about this, understood there was a problem and a gap in regulation that Ohio needed to fill. And Kasich, who's just as wacky as Walker in Wisconsin, fire and shares responsibility along with this fool, you know, for what happened.
Yeah, I hear you. That's what I was saying. It's part of the same thing, like no regulation of any kind. Mm. Any kind of regulation is bad. So someone like that gets to own how many exotic animals? I mean, it just nuts.
18 Bengal tigers. 18 of the 1,400 in the entire world.
Why don't we, for the next Republican debate, just to make it a little more entertaining, do it right outside a zoo and release.
In Zanesville? Yeah. Okay.
And let all the animals out.
Since that's a global phenomenon, I don't think that should be up to the state.
Since they don't believe
Ohio
in regulation, prove it.
Yeah.
Do the next Republican debate right in a. Yeah. Okay. Just saying. This one was entertaining enough, but, you know, it was Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Those people that hire illegals ought to be penalized.
Just working it out in the middle of the ring!
Admit you lose all of your standing because you hired illegals.
And you're the hard guys in the job!
Hey, let me finish with my, what I'm saying.
It's just part of the action with the world's only boxing robots, the Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
I'm speaking.
With these control levers, you can keep your fighters in motion to duck punches.
You get 30 seconds. This is the way the rules work here.
When you press this plunger, he throws a right uppercut.
I get 60 seconds.
No, but the American
and then you get 30 seconds to respond, right?
And they want
Anderson.
Press the other plunger, and there's a left jab.
Are you just going to keep talking?
Lots of exciting action and fun for everyone.
You have a problem with allowing someone to finish speaking, and I suggest that if you want to become President of the United States, you got to let both people speak.
The world's only boxing robots. Get the Rock'em Sock'em Robots by Mark.
Not my marks.
My you marks. Knock my block off.
Okay, Tom in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, Steph.
Hi.
Steph, I'm a retired soldier from the Iraqi War, 21 years.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. I heard Mike, he was totally wrong. The president shouldn't go apologize to nobody because everything he's done so far is correct. And if we pull troops out too fast, we'll be right back over there in 6 months. And all these people, especially Fox, they won't give no credit to what the man has done. He's brought every last one of these idiots who did all this to justice. Now, if I'm trying to say, how do you tell somebody you apologize for doing the right thing? Mike is totally wrong, and I'm glad that you had, you know, some of the cojones to stand there and tell him, wait a minute, you're a little bit going too far off the ranch here. He shouldn't go apologize to nobody. And second thing, he don't have to go down there to that Occupy movement to know that he's saying what he's saying is right. He's doing everything right by these people. So I normally would just sit and listen to you on the radio, but I got kind of upset, and I had to call in.
Right,
he was talking about him taking Wall Street money, I think, specifically.
Yeah,
and having Larry Summers and Tim Geithner and people like that.
And he has taken a lot of Wall Street money.
Yeah,
you know.
But Thomas, you're with me that, you know, the president can't single-handedly change the whole system, Jim. I mean, he's not supposed to take, I mean, the problem is the money in the political system. What's he supposed to do?
But he can, but he does decide what advisors he takes on in his...
When they change that ruling up at the Supreme Court, what else is he supposed to do? I mean, I'm sending my $5 or $10. Let somebody else send some money so we can beat these idiots on they blast machine, blasting all these negative ads at him.
Yep.
You watch,
Thomas. They won't give him any credit today for Gaddafi getting.
I was just looking at Fox News. They ain't said one word to say, Mr. President, good job. Look, we got to keep drumming the beat. If we got to send a dollar, a nickel, a quarter, we send it to him. If Wall Street won't want to send him no money, then fine.
Yep. All right.
Just keep doing what we're doing.
I'm with you, brother. All right. Thank you, Thomas. All right. See, I did the same thing Rick Perry did. I just called him brother.
Yeah, I was about ready to call you out on that.
I meant brother in a political sense.
Uh-huh.
All right. Whatever.
It's different when you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this. Rick Perry calls for a flat tax. Oh, he is really getting kind of desperate, isn't he? Wait. I have an awful flat tax plan, too.
I call it 888.
Oh, really?
See, it's different.
It's catchy. Yeah, watch. It probably will be something like that. Just a different number.
Yeah.
They're just grasping for straws.
8, 9, 10.
Okay.
Just like the count on Sesame Street.
7, 23, 11.
Maybe Rick Santorum will come out with one called 69. I don't know why. Google Santorum. Google it. Not my fault. Okay. He plans to explain his tax proposal when he unveils his broad economic plan in a speech next week.
When I tell broads they can't spend no more money.
Mm-hmm. It starts with scrapping the 3 million words. He's also against too many words.
I don't like words.
And starting over with something
especially
much simpler.
Especially
Biggins.
They can't pronounceify.
He's a president that would think Biggins is a word. It's Biggins. Okay. Right. Mary in Connecticut, real quick, on the birth control pill. Hi, Mary.
Between Kathy Griffin and Bengal Tigers, I'm not quite sure where this is going.
I don't either. And I'm hosting the show. I have no idea where it's going.
That's a sad thing.
I know.
You commute with me on the Merritt Parkway every morning. So
even the Merritt
either
Parkway.
I'm laughing and impaling on the side railing or going so fast and waving my arms because I'm pissed off. But anyway, thanks for the company.
You're welcome. Mary, real quick, you got 15 seconds. Sorry.
Papantonio, my daughter was just put on Yaz. The argument is you're 10 years out and it's 10 that much better. So, and you might have some spotting. They don't tell you you might bleed for a month. But
wow. Yikes.
And I'm a registered nurse, so I'm scared to death for my kids.
Yeah, well, tell her not to. I would get off that. Okay. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I'm feeling good. Hey! little time. So many future husbands. Adam Levine of Maroon 5.
Yep.
Did he tweet? Yeah,
he
tweeted.
I saw
News.
This actually happen yeah. yesterday live.
Dear
on Twitter.
Fox News, don't play our music on your evil channel ever again.
Yep. Well, The Five uses a whole bunch of pop yeah. music to go in and out of commercial breaks, and they use some really left-wing music.
Yeah. Hmm. That was very clear.
Yeah.
Very concise. Very to the point.
Yeah.
All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Check it out. The big party in L.A. this weekend. Jim, someone wrote and said seeing Jim Ward live will be like watching the Beatles, which I think you're underestimating.
If I fell in love with you, would you promise to be
yeah.
true?
He might bust out the Mick Jagger, the harmonica. You never know. Jim's a wild man. All right. And there'll be some very special surprises.
Can you give a hint? I want to know. You won't even tell me.
Friday and Saturday.
What?
Different surprises Friday
wow.
and Saturday. All right.
It's like Cracker Jacks.
There's a prize at the bottom of every Sexy Liberal show.
You never know what you're going to get.
Do I get a temporary tattoo?
It's like a box of chocolates. Well, you already have your outfit. You're dressing like
the gimp.
The gimp.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Paul,
yeah.
I'm bringing you out on a chain and a ball.
That,
yeah,
no, I won't
ball
be
gag.
Doing that.
That ball gag isn't very comfortable.
Well, who cares? That's okay. The point. Okay. all right, kids. Lowbrow, and now we go highbrow with Ari Berman of The Nation, one of our very personal favorites. Good morning, Ari.
Hey, good morning. Can I be highbrow, lowbrow at the same time?
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. Isn't that what's cool these days?
Yeah, and I'll bring the unibrow. Brow. I'll yeah. bring the unibrow. Now, Ari, first of all, we got to talk about the Republican debates, because what yeah. good fun was that?
That was great fun. I mean, as with all the Republican debates, they managed to be terribly amusing and, quite frankly, terrifying at the same time, right?
Yes.
It's
yes.
this interesting fusion. I mean, I love watching basically two Ken dolls in Rick Perry and Mitt Romney
yes.
go at each other. I mean, I don't really... Santorum, when he attacks Romney, I'm like, can we find a better attack dog?
Right.
But when Perry and Romney go at it, that's what I love. And Romney really has patented this strategy of feigning offense when anyone questions his consistency. Like, God forbid you criticize him for changing his position on
right.
something.
Yeah, he looks, it's sort of like a country club upset. Like, he got the wrong foie gras. Like, whoa, it's sort of
like, how could you suggest that? And then the corollary to that is, you have to let me talk. So, like, he turns everything into, like, this great big process argument. Like, because Rick Perry's interrupting him, like, Rick Perry's unqualified to be president. As if that's, like, the number one reason Perry's unqualified to be president. But I mean, like, it is disturbing, for example, like, to hear them talk about, like, when Herman Cain's 999 plan comes up, for example, no one mentions that actually that plan is going to raise taxes on poor people and middle class people and massively cut taxes for the richest Americans. So, like, that kind of perspective, which you hope that, like, Americans would get from watching the debate, is, like, completely absent. Like, the only thing they say of the plan is it's a tax increase.
Right.
that's the
part that, yeah.
process, you know, in response to his plan. So I
yeah.
don't really have a general takeaway other than that. Let's hope these guys beat each other up for the next 6 months.
Oh, I know. It's just so entertaining. They're just doing our work for us. And I love that Rick Perry afterwards had he has a different word than flip-flopper. He said that he's not going to be a shapeshifter. Like,
yeah. So, I mean, listen, Cain is, I, at the risk of going on a limb and making a prediction, I mean, I don't think Cain is going anywhere. So, I mean, I think the race is basically, I believe, going to coalesce back into Perry and Romney, because we've seen time and time again that the anti-Romney faction of the party is bigger than the pro-Romney faction. The problem is the anti-Romney faction can never get its you-know-what together. So, like, first they have Bachman, and they have Perry, and then they have Cain, and it's like, okay, well, if you guys really want to defeat Romney, clearly Perry's the only person
right.
with the money and the stature to be able to defeat him in the primary. Everyone else, it's going to be a cakewalk for Romney.
But didn't you almost see it, like, if you, the expression, some hating someone with the heat of 1,000 white hot suns, you saw the look on Rick Perry's face when Mitt Romney touched him. That
well,
seems
you saw,
yes.
you saw a few things. Number one, they all hate Romney
right.
to begin with. So everyone's going to try to attack him. And number two, yeah, I mean, these guys do not like each other. I mean, they're both these incredibly creepy, tall, fake plastic-looking men going at it. I mean, they should be best friends if you think about it based on how they look. But
yeah, we were saying yesterday that because we were imagining what that, because we thought we were were very close to a fist fight, but we were saying those are those kind of guys that they don't really know how to fight. There'd just be a lot of, like, headlocks and tussling and, you know, I don't know, wedgies and
bumping chests.
I have a feeling Perry, without needing to bring in the official executioner, would figure out how to win that fight.
I don't know if he's so tough without his gun or his executioner, actually. But
maybe. I mean, yeah. He usually can just hide behind the state on that one. Romney is the most polished candidate. He is the toughest opponent for Obama. He's not necessarily the shoo-in to be president. I mean, I think right now it's about 50-50, but the more he can get bloodied up, the more that they can make him pander to the right, the more they can bring up his inconsistencies. I think it all just helps President Obama. So anytime him and Perry get at it on something like illegal immigration, I think it helps the president. What hurts the president is when Romney seems sane on Social Security because Perry wants to privatize it. Or actually, he wants to destroy it.
Yeah.
Romney wants to privatize it, but you don't hear that because you're so busy focused on how Perry's calling Social Security a Ponzi scheme that no one's pointing out, well, Romney's position is pretty radical as well.
Yeah, well, and he also talked about, he offered more details on his Medicare plan. We're going to give people vouchers, the old, you know, Paul Ryan idea.
Paul Ryan plan. I mean, and to the extent that these candidates in the debate go backwards to embrace Paul Ryan economics, that will, I think, help the president, because Ryan's plan, although it was called so bold and courageous at the beginning, turned out, not surprisingly, to be incredibly unpopular. 90% of Americans like Social Security and they like Medicare. They want more money spent, not less money spent on these programs. They don't believe that just getting rid of them is going to actually help the economy. They believe that something like that, and I think the economic data shows this to be true, would significantly hurt our economy.
Ari, as usual, you have another great piece in The Nation called The Austerity Class, How the Deficit Hawks Have Manufactured Center-Right Consensus That Rules Washington. You know, that's something I haven't heard focused on enough, that you kind of go, where did all this come from? All of a sudden the deficit talk, when George Bush is the one that, you know, ran up these incredible deficits in the first place.
Yeah, it's been a piece that just came out for The Nation that I've been wanting to write for a long time, because I really do think that the central paradox in American politics for the past 2 years is why, in the midst of such a massive unemployment crisis, when we know that so many jobs are lost or not being created, how did the deficit emerge as such a pressing issue? And that's number one. And number two, when we know that the deficit was caused by what the Bush administration did, the tax cuts, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, the Medicare Part D plan, why aren't we talking about getting rid of those things instead of, for example, cutting Social Security and Medicare and cutting taxes for very rich people like Paul Ryan does? So what I looked at is I looked at the synergy between the quote-unquote centrist deficit hawk groups, the ones that are always quoted in the Washington Post, for example, and the Paul Ryans of the world, the unholy alliance between them, and how basically these so-called centrist deficit hawks, all they've done is help the Tea Party. Because the more people hear spending is the problem, government is the problem, the more they become sympathetic to a Tea Party argument. And even the president played this game for a year or two. I mean, his stimulus was too small, he pivoted to the deficit too soon, he tried to find common ground where none existed with the Republicans. Now he's belatedly breaking with what I call the austerity class. He is introducing a jobs bill, and they're killing him for it. And they're putting forward this idea of false equivalency, that both parties are to blame for the deficit, and both parties are unwilling to solve it, when that's manifestly untrue.
Right. Well, that's exactly what you say. Austerity class pundits have advanced the myth that both parties are equally responsible for and unwilling to fix the deficit. And, you know, you're absolutely right. That is just completely untrue on its face.
So you look at, for example, one of the things that, you know, the Tom Friedmans, the David Brookses, the Washington Post op-ed page of the world are upset about is seemingly the idea that Obama didn't offer John Boehner a grand bargain. It's like, where were you guys? Like, Obama offered a huge grand bargain to Boehner that would have included cuts to Social Security and Medicare, would have raised the eligibility age of Medicare, would have cut a huge amount of money. I mean, basically, it would have been 3-to-1 spending cuts to tax increases, which I thought was a very bad deal for Democrats. Boehner turned him down. So it's pretty clear right now that Democrats, for better or for worse, are willing to make a quote-unquote balanced deal. Republicans are not. I mean, at a Republican debate, they were asked, you remember this, of course, mm-hmm. a few debates ago, would you support a 10-to-1 spending cuts to tax increases? 10-to-1. They all said no. So in light of those facts, why does the media keep repeating the idea that both parties are equally to blame for this problem?
Yep, absolutely. Ari, great.
It's really confounding to me.
Exactly. Well, that's why we need the nation and Ari Berman. And a pleasure as always. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it, guys. Thank
you. Ari. There he goes. Ari.
And we put a link to that article up at your Facebook page and up at your Google Plus page.
Awesome. All right. So, by the by, we were talking about the used food from the debate from Herman Cain.
Yeah.
The poor people should just eat used food.
Right.
And because we're helpers. Yesterday we found you the place you can buy that, and but there's more.
This week at Use Foods Emporium, it's our semi-annual apple and orange ananza. Mix and match a wide variety of used apples and oranges.
You're mixing apples and oranges.
That recently fell off a truck and we acquired. Only $9.99 a bushel.
And I'm going to be getting a bushel basket that has apples and oranges in it.
Our oranges aren't just orange. Some are brown, green, and gray. A great way to liven up any holiday table. And we stand by our guarantee that we have the softest apples in town, 100% tax-free. Now that's easy on the old choppers and the pocketbook.
That's an apple.
Don't miss out on some other great bargains in our produce department. Listeria contaminated cantaloupe, only 30 cents a pound. It's listerific. And peppers, a nickel a piece. Don't miss out on the apple and orange ananza at Used Foods Emporium.
That's apples and oranges.
Yum. Thank you, Mr. Ken in Cleveland.
Yay.
Can I say that makes me a little sick? I hate soft apples in the first place.
Yeah.
It's making me a little... I just think I'm going to buy
But they guarantee the softest apples in town.
I'm going to use the new soft apple pizza.
Okay. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
This portion of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Bill Maher. Don't miss Bill Maher, comedian and host of Real Time on HBO, New Year's Eve at Waikiki Shell, and New Year's Day at Maui Arts and Cultural Center. Tickets on sale October 22nd at 10 a.m. at rbpconcerts.com.
Awesome. 24 Sweet. Minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number, Kim in Seattle. Hey, Kim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I haven't listened to your show consistently for probably the past 3 or 4 years, so...
How dare you?
I don't know if you remarked on this phenomenon yet,
mm-hmm.
but I have noticed so many Mormon commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And these Mormons from all over the world, Mormons
yep.
from Italy, Mormons from Africa, and, oh, I'm Mormon, and shouldn't you be Mormon, too?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're sort of doing it to support Romney, am I right?
No, what they're trying to do is they're trying to capitalize on Romney being in the news. By trying to get more people into the LDS faith.
Mm-hmm. And Mormons put a lot of money, unfortunately, into the marriage equality, fighting mm-hmm. Fighting against marriage equality here in California.
And they got some backlash within their own church for that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
All right, Rick Perry. Yesterday, Jim said you won't hear a lot of shapeshift and nuance from
That's
me.
That's right.
See, nuance is French and gay. It's back.
I'm going to
give the American
word.
People a big old help and an unbridled truth.
Huh. All right.
That's a big old helping to something else.
Big old helping to something.
Used
That's right.
Food, used food. So a lot of articles is about how personal and nasty it's gotten between particularly Romney and Perry.
Oh, it is all.
Oh, it's all, my friend. Alex Castellanos says all the GOP candidates have lost their virginity now. Everybody attacks everybody from now on. The Romney advisor called Perry a petulant little boy, and said Romney put him in his place, physically, I guess.
Yeah, I'm a petulant little boy with a machine that can electrocute your ass. Yeah,
he said, I
ain't afraid to use it.
Apparently not. He said the governor of Texas came across as mean, petulant, and nasty. But I do think
that was... Say that like it's a bad thing.
Can I just say... How like human clip art that sounded like in the first place.
Yeah.
About illegal. I'm running for office, for Pete's sake.
For Pete's sake.
I can't have illegals. For Pete's sake.
It just looks bad.
Of course I could do it like everyone else if I wasn't running for office.
So, God. Someone in the chat room is referencing the previous caller and said, so I haven't listened to your show in 3 or 4 years. Who is your current boyfriend?
Sorry. All right.
That cracked me up.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. All right. Try to keep up, people. Okay. The president talking about jobs.
I guarantee you it's going to be a close election because the fact is that the economy is not where it wants to be. And even though I believe that all the choices we've made have been the right ones, we're still going through difficult circumstances. And that means people who may be sympathetic to my point of view still kind of feel like, but it hasn't gotten done yet.
And the Republicans are doing everything they can to help that along, mm-hmm. to make sure that the economy doesn't get an iota better. The president
I have
can.
Gone out of my way to try to find areas of cooperation with these Republicans.
That's true.
In fact, some of you have been mad at me for trying too hard to cooperate
yep.
with him, haven't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was cool that he acknowledged uh-huh. that.
Talking about the job.
63% of the American people support what's in the American Jobs Act.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, we've had 100% of Senate Republicans vote against it. A majority think it's a good idea to keep firefighters on the job.
Unless you're Ron Paul.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And then let your own damn house burn down. Put it out your own damn self.
Your own damn thought. You mm-hmm. let your house burn down.
Mm-hmm. And the president one more
time. I just want to repeat. Dirtier air, dirtier water, fewer people on health care, less accountability on Wall Street. That is not a jobs plan.
All right. And Joe Biden is talking about the charge that they're playing class warfare.
What do they say we're doing, engaging in? What do they call it? Class warfare. Yo, Richie. I mean, class warfare.
Richie?
Huh?
I don't know. I mean, it's Joe Biden, so who knows what the joke is.
The Happy Days reference? What the?
Yo,
Richie. Rich? Was that what he?
Maybe that was someone he grew up with back in Scranton.
It's hard, kind of hard to tell what Joe Biden's shooting for when he goes for a joke sometimes. But all right. Harry Reid.
It's very clear that private sector jobs have been doing just fine. It's the public sector jobs where we've lost huge numbers.
Hmm. Yeah, and Republicans actively cheer for that when they brag about having cut X number of public sector employees. All right. So we have 29 minutes after the hour. I've got Celebrity Sacked and much more.
We have a Tone Loc story coming up in Celebrity Sacked.
Yes. A Tone Loc story?
Yep.
Yes. It's important.
Yeah, you know, we're nothing if not current.
Yeah. All right. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Suburban seventh graders have more sexual experience than you do.
That's probably true.
Mm-hmm. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. It's the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code. Stephanie, be sure to use that promo code. Stephanie, that's right. I only have virtual sex in GoToMeeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Joe in Iowa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Morning, Stephanie.
Hi, Joe.
See, we had Mitt Romney on our local station this morning for the right-wingers to kiss his butt this morning, and he was talking about how Obama's out pushing his jobs bill, but he's really not leading. He should go back to Washington and work with the Republicans. Bending over backwards to work with these guys, and they're just no, no, no. And, you know, of course, I didn't take any questions from callers about Romney's job creation record in Massachusetts, but,
yeah.
You know, it's just a pretty sad
Yeah. It's hard to run from that record. You know, there's 27th in job creation. That's tough to run from that, isn't it?
Bullet.
Yeah, exactly. All right, honey. You know what, Jim? This one I'm just going to say great minds think alike rather than that someone's stealing from us. Andy Borowitz, who I love. The headline is Gaddafi killed and mauled by a tiger in Ohio. Did I just do that joke 2 hours ago? Mm-hmm. All right, I think I'm going to say it's great minds think alike.
I think so.
The Tiger, a longtime Zanesville resident, is being flown to the White House where she will receive the Presidential Medal of Honor. In a brief statement, President Obama said, "Under my watch, we've killed both Osama bin Laden and Muammar Gaddafi. That should really be enough to reelect me, especially if I'm running against a pizza man."
Especially if you have a tiger.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. Joe Biden, okay.
Yeah.
What was he talking about, the first responders bill?
It's
yeah.
a big effing deal.
It's not temporary. When that 911 call comes in and the woman's being raped, the cop shows up in time to prevent the rape. I wish they had some notion of what it's like to be the other side of a gun. Or a 200-pound man standing over you telling you to submit.
You've had some experience in this?
No, what?
He's scrappy, that Joe Biden. All right. Senator Mitch McLiplis.
I think it's time Democrats realize that they were elected to lead, not to choreograph political theater.
Marcus Boxman's like, what?
That's my job.
For political theater, that's me.
I'm super. Thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super. Nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're. Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
The president's mission is to bend over backwards.
No, that's my job!
That's my job! Okay.
Oh, stop it. I'm super!
Let's get to the important breaking tone low music.
Oh, okay.
What? No David Essex news?
Do we need some music for that?
Yeah, what's Funky Cold Medina? He collapsed after playing Funky Cold Medina.
Oh. Maybe it was too cold.
He's getting, doing a wild thing, getting to be a little too much for Tone Loc, according to reports. Mm. He was hospitalized for exhaustion. Listen, don't this could happen
thing.
To me. I'm exhausted from this tour. I may collapse this weekend in L.A. just for publicity.
Don't you have a thing with Roger Hedgehog tonight?
Cock. Today.
Today?
Yes, radio panel today. And then okay. I have a, yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hmm. And then I have two sexy liberal shows, Friday night and Saturday night. He fell out and fell ill and passed out shortly after performing Funky Cold Medina. That is.
Hmm. It was too funky. It was used. It was used, Funky Cold Medina. That's
He's fine
what.
Now.
Yeah.
He's fine. Okay.
I understand the dehydration and the exhaustion. I'm. Listen.
We do the mild thing.
We could.
You guys will
go.
Just leave me there. Yeah. If they have a sexy liberal show. You just like step over me.
We can let this music go for 6 minutes if you want.
Yeah. We've been known to do that.
People that listen on the Steph stream are like,
yeah.
No!
Nearly enough of that.
All right. I don't even know why we picked that music for this
you know
Steph
what?
Stream.
That we've been playing that for 12 years. Why change now?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. All right. I love this story. Troops in Afghanistan burned donated copies of Bill O'Reilly's books.
Oh, yeah. This is awesome.
According to Gawker, what did soldiers in Afghanistan do with copies of Pinheads and Patriots? Your dad sent in a care package. They set them on fire.
That's great.
A Tumblr maintained by a soldier serving in Afghanistan said, "Some jerk sent us two boxes of this awful book." Instead of anything soldiers at a remote outpost in Afghanistan might need, like, say, food or soap, just burn the whole lot of them on my commander's orders.
Yep.
I thought the troops loved Bill O'Reilly. That's what he says. I guess the troops are pinheads now, aren't they?
Well, maybe you could send the troops a copy of your book when it's published.
Sure. I bet you they won't burn now. It'll be dirty stuff in there.
Ooh.
Oh, boy. All right. I think this is, once again, I'm going to say homage. I think D-Listed listens to us. Bill Donahue, the blowhole from the Catholic League. That's my nickname. Uh-huh. That's my love name.
Uh-huh.
My love nickname for Bill Donahue. D-Listed writing, the Catholics are disgusted with Susan Sarandon for calling the Pope a Nazi. Newsweek was interviewing her when she admitted to sending Pope John Paul II a copy of Dead Man Walking.
Oh. Mm.
She said the last pope, not this Nazi one we have now. Susan Louise. Oh, she technically is Louise. She was. She was Louise and Thelma and Louise.
Yeah.
It's weird. Okay, Pope Benedict was a Hitler youth and says that he was forced to do so. And then the D-Lister writes, Bill Donahue, the blowhole who runs the Catholic League, of course, had to respond to Susan Sarandon's comment.
And he's the one guy in the Catholic League.
I don't know.
It's not a league. It's just him.
I think he has a deal with Madonna. I think he pays her to say stuff, and then he has something to go on TV and talk about.
He's in a league of his own.
Yeah. Yes.
Madonna was in.
Oh, because, okay.
And so was Gina Davis, who was in Thelma and Louise.
Oh, my God.
Which
is
met Kevin Bacon once.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure.
We have ripped a hole in the time-space continuum.
I think so.
Oh, God, Jehovah God, the end must be near.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Okay. Oh, God.
Remain calm. All is well.
Is at hand.
We are in the last days.
No, we have activated...
Lord Jehovah God.
We have activated the rapture bot. Cut aid to Israel. Just kidding. Okay.
Love messing with her like that.
Hey, did Harry Belafonte fall asleep on live TV or no?
Yes.
His publicist, I always love the publicist. That's always the most entertaining part of the story. The publicist said there was an audio glitch in his earpiece, so he couldn't hear the anchors to respond.
Sure.
So he was
with his eyes closed?
Resting his head gently while contemplating the audio problems.
Dale. He's in his 80s. He's allowed to fall asleep on a morning radio tour.
Although my mom is 88, and she did not nap during the Sexy Liberal show in Asheville. She saw the whole thing.
Mm. Oh, well, she's powered by Republican spite.
Now powered by Republican spite. It's Energizer spite.
Oh, okay. My God.
All right. And I love that she actually watched Hal Sparks teabag me and she still didn't get it.
Oh, wow.
Now, dear, what was the thing where the man was on top? I didn't really understand. Was that something? Oh, it's not important, Mom. Let's move on.
I can't imagine that white Republican women from the suburbs of Buffalo are that adventurous,
That's why I have the demonstration, because I wasn't acquainted until you showed it to me on the interweb.
There you go. Handstands. I mean, that's
I didn't know what it was. Because a suburban seventh grader has more sexual experience than I do. So I do it as a public.
Sure.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Superficial writing. Obama hates the Kardashians. I love this piece. While a lot of people have a laundry list of complaints against Barack Obama, let it never be said the man's not a decent father trying to raise his daughters right. And by raise his daughters right, I mean keep them entirely shielded from the Kardashians and their golden shower fame whore express of a TV show. Like most moms, it's a story about Mrs. Obama regulates her kids' TV and screen time. The first daughters are not allowed to watch TV or be on the computer during the week unless it's related to schoolwork, and they can watch limited television on weekends. What a bunch of communist socialist! What? She was asked, are any shows off limits? She said, Barack really does think some of the Kardashians, when they watch that stuff, he doesn't really like that as much. But I sort of feel like if we're talking about it, I'm more concerned with how they take it in, like if they're learning the right lessons. And D-Lister writes, that's why Michelle Obama is awesome. All right, girls, what did we learn from watching the Kardashian? Bitches be crazy. That's right. But on a serious note, while most political scholars believe the Tea Party is causing the greatest fracture between moderate Republicans and the bat fringe, I like to believe that this will be the defining issue that, separates the party into two distinct groups. Those who can set aside partisan beliefs for the sake of logic and reason and say, okay, Obama's right on this one. And those who are forcing their kids to watch Courtney and Kim marathons as we speak, because a good Republican always does the exact opposite of what the black hooju president says. Oh. It's true.
Yeah.
I just hadn't heard it phrased like that. That's all. All right. Let's go to Matthew in Asheville, North Carolina. Welcome, Matthew.
Hey, Mama.
Hello, baby.
This is your chore boy, Matthew, from Asheville, and I met you there. And during the meet and greet, I heard your mom say, I don't know if it was to Lisa or to you, but she did say, oh, I wish I'd brought a tape recorder.
Oh!
So she really did like it. She loved your show.
Yeah, she missed 99% of it, which is good news for me. But yeah, what she saw, she seemed to enjoy.
She's incredibly cute.
Aw, isn't she?
And love the show. Thanks, Mom.
Thank you, Matthew. My mom is cute. She's cute as a button. Thank God she doesn't know how to operate anything technological at all. Tape recorder. Oh, dear. Yeah, can you imagine?
Oh, God.
She'd just be playing it over and over again. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. She said what?
I'd like to see her attempt Siri.
My mom still doesn't know how to do her phone answering machine. She still has a phone answering machine, and there's still a guy's voice on there.
Robotic.
Yeah. The one time she did it, it was like this. You heard a...
Oh, dear.
Yeah, exactly, like that. You hear like a lot of like scuffling, and then I'm leave a message at the beep. She's like very tense. Oh. She's very tense when she leaves the message. It doesn't sound like her at all. She's just sort of this. I'm not here. Leave a. You can tell it just like stressed her out. She just had like a quart of vodka after that. All right, 40.
As Republican women are wont to do.
The person you're trying to leave a message for is not available. Please call back later.
All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
They degrade women and beavers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Have me feeling like she's ready to blow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Gaddafi should have known his time was almost up when Hillary Clinton was dancing to Usher in the Hollywood Bowl. She was getting down to this.
Wow. Freaking the bed,
huh? Yeah. Mm. Okay, and a sniper, apparently. 49 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free.
With a frying pan.
I forgot the, yikes.
I think Gaddafi was hit with more than a frying pan.
Yeah, I made a mistake looking at that picture over breakfast.
Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan's probation has been revoked. She was led away in handcuffs yesterday, and that's today's. You know what? If you see the pictures, this has gone from the, that's sad now.
Oh, the pictures of her teeth.
Yeah, no, just in general, she's.
Well, there were close up pictures of her teeth, and she has total meth mouth.
Ooh,
Yeah.
Oh boy. Okay. Wow, Jim, you better look into this. Do you or someone you love suffer from sexsomnia? Are you squeezing with field pants in your sleep? I need to ask your lovely wife. Have you ever been awoken in the dead of... This is Gawker writing. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been awoken in the dead of night by an acute stabbing sensation only to realize your unconscious partner was having sex with you? There's actually a word for that. It's sexomnia, a term coined by some pervy doctor to describe people who engage in sex acts while they are asleep, such as masturbation, fondling, sexual intercourse.
Why would you waste that while you're asleep? That's just wrong.
Ryan Harris, for instance, is a raging sexomniac. His wife, Dee Harris, tells The Sun that their 16-month-old baby boy was conceived during one of his more vigorous episodes.
Yikes.
Vigorous?
The first time it happened, she said, I sent him a text saying, last night was great. He replied, he didn't know what I was talking about. He can never remember, but the sex is more intense. He's actually better at it when he's unconscious. That is awesome. Don't overthink it. Just, do it when you're unconscious.
Using the other head.
Usually only Republicans have sex with unconscious people.
Yeah.
But they're not the unconscious ones.
No.
There's just a lot of those stories that, guys have woken up with, their and someone's and they just because they, the other guy tripped or something.
Sure.
Because if you did it while you were conscious, that'd be gay. See, this way, you're just a sexomniac.
Whatever.
Okay
then.
All right then. Oh, boy. Is Facebook making our brains bigger? Gawker has another one. A new study says having more Facebook friends might be making your brain bigger. Obviously, correlation does not equal causation, they write, so it could be that people with a lot of Facebook friends are inborn with some awful brain mutation that drives them to friend hundreds of people they barely know.
Yeah. Maybe that's why my brain has been shrinking since I got off Facebook.
And you didn't have much to start with.
Yeah, exactly.
Gawker writing, can you imagine the future we're headed to if Facebook physically shapes our brain? 2042, everyone's walking around with a special blue and white Facebook-branded helmet to keep their swollen, quivering brain from jumping out of their skull and literally connecting with other people's. The handshake has been replaced by a mutual poke. Parenting consists of pressing a like button on your kid's forehead when they do something good. Oh, boy. All right. And now, here's a story about a bear that doesn't end in anyone's death, either the animal or...
Good. We needed one of these.
Yeah, exactly. I needed a happy animal story before the end of the... After Herpes Monkey with his Twitter account.
Herpes Monkey.
I don't think Herpes Monkey is tweeting anymore.
Oh, dear. This has just not been a good week. All right. Gawker, writing, both patrons and employees at a supermarket in Alaska were left flabbergasted after a black bear cub waltzed into the... supermarket and then beeline to the produce aisle, which he ransacked. But that's still good. But you can use that recently mauled food if you're Herman.
It's only slightly used.
Exactly. Where should we play our used food emporium bit one more time?
Sure.
Why not? It's good used food. It was either recently, salivated or pooped by a bear.
This week at Used Foods Emporium, it's our semi-annual apple and orange ananza. Mix and match a wide variety of used apples and oranges.
You're mixing apples and oranges.
That recently fell off a truck, and we acquired only $9.99 a bushel.
And I'm going to be getting a bushel basket that has apples and oranges in it.
Our oranges aren't just orange. Some are brown, green, and gray. A great way to liven up any holiday table. And we stand by our guarantee that we have the softest apples in town, 100% tax-free. Now that's easy on the old choppers and the pocketbook.
That's an apple.
Don't miss out on some other great bargains in our produce department. Listeria contaminated cantaloupe, only 30 cents a pound. It's listerific.
Yummy, yummy,
and
yummy.
Peppers, a nickel a piece. Don't miss out. on the Apple and Orange Ananza at Use Foods Emporium.
That's apples and oranges.
All right, what a bunch of doofuses.
That's why we
don't need food safety
regulations.
Republican side, really. Yeah. Suzanne writes, Seth, isn't used food food that's already been consumed? Doesn't that mean Herman Cain is telling us to eat?
Yeah.
Essentially, at least he's being more honest about it.
If it's gone through the whole process of being used, yes.
Mitt Romney just has fancier ways of saying eat. It's like hurry up the foreclosures and, you know. All right, hey, looky here, Chris. It's, what's today, Thursday?
Yep.
Pat Buchanan said some more really racist.
Really?
Wow, it's shocking. What's his latest thing? I've got a whole...
Oh.
His, just in his new book, but said blacks what now? What now, Pat?
I have it here.
Mm-hmm. In a new book decrying the slow death of white America, Pat Buchanan warns the minorities lower test scores, you know, by being all minority-like. It's a suicide of a superpower. Will America survive to 2025?
In the year 25.
The book's thesis centered on a cultural collapse of the nation and the slow death of the people who created and ruled the nation, namely white people. He outlines the three major consequences America will face without enough white people.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. First, the Republican Party routinely gets 90% of its presidential votes from white America will come to an end. Oh, well, good. Good. All right, then. Especially since crucial Republican states like Texas are, is this a new word? Hispanicizing. They're getting all Hispanic-y.
Tejas used to belong to Mexico.
Yeah.
It was Spanish.
It's one of the six flags over Texas.
Yeah.
Yes.
Secondly, the millions of immigrants, legal and illegal, who do not bring the academic or professional skills of European Americans will replace actual taxpayers and suck the government dry. Finally, test scores will nosedive because more and more children taking those tests will be African American and Hispanic. I'm sorry, and did this
just this morning he said, blacks have lost the American identity they had during segregation.
Ah, yes, it was so much more scintillating to be black back then.
Given that minorities clearly are bad at school, which is his premise, he goes on to warn that the burden of academic excellence thus falls almost entirely on white males. Oh,
wow.
Did I just get thrown the bus?
Yes. Yeah.
Did us dumb bitches just get thrown the bus?
See, you don't know what you're talking about.
Apparently.
Dumb bitches and brown people.
With your fancy education.
Why didn't he just call the book Dumb Bitches and Brown People?
Yeah. Catch your title.
Dumb Bitches and Brown People Ruining America. Chapter 1, Stephanie Miller. Chapter 2, Anybody Brown. The end. Pat Buchanan. Here's some of his...
By the way, you're welcome for the free boat ride.
Yeah, oh, well, let's do the greatest hits. He said the guy, the Norwegian terrorist, that guy was right. The Christian terrorist was right.
Mm.
He was a killer, but he was right about his whole premise.
Okay.
White males aren't getting enough help. There's affirmative action for everyone, but none for white males.
Can't a honky get some love?
Too many Jews at the Supreme Court? That was a good one. Yahoos. Slave descendants should be grateful. That's the whole thanks for the... You didn't thank us for the boat ride. Hello?
Ain't we got fun.
And the free jewelry. Ankle bracelets, hello.
In the morning, in the evening, ain't we got jewelry?
Barely in the chat room says that it looks like he has eyebrow failures on a regular basis.
Yeah.
That's Ron Paul. Eyebrow failures on a daily basis on MSNBC. Oh, Hitler was courageous. MLK was a fraud. And gays are Satanists.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he said the AIDS epidemic proved our promiscuous homosexuals appear literally hell-bent on Satanism and suicide. Okay. And he says marriage equality is an Orwellian absurdity, much like his eyebrows.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. That's it for us. Fridays with John Finkelstein live in studio, Sexy Liberal, on the big Sexy Liberal weekend here in L.A. I'd like to thank Crystal Boy, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.